In Western Australia, there's an ongoing debate over the future of the Rangelands region and its potential for carbon farming. The Rangelands cover 87% of WA, and farmers are strictly limited in what they can do, with leases restricting them to the grazing of animals in this region. With some farmers facing drought and difficult conditions, there are calls for more opportunities to diversify on the Rangelands. But the reform process has hit yet another snag, as Claire Nichols reports.
Jason Hastie runs the Pingandi Cattle Station in the WA Outback.
Well, it's a pastoral lease. It's at the northern end of the Gascoyne region, and I graze cattle there.
How many cattle?
Up to about 1,600 I've had as a maximum, currently between 500 and 600.
There aren't many other options you can do with that lease, right, in terms of what you can do on that land?
Under the existing legislation, no.
It's cows or nothing?
Pretty much.
His station sits in the WA Rangelands, which cover 87% of the state. Stations in the Rangelands are covered by pastoral leases, which restrict farmers like Jason Hastie from using the land for anything other than grazing.
I'm restricted to undertaking pastoral activity as the main activity of the station, and that can be restrictive in times when pastoral activity is not very profitable, as in times of drought or times of low prices.
Jason Hastie is looking for other options for his station and thinks carbon farming could be part of the solution.
Carbon sequestration would have big benefits for the station and its resource base. The more carbon that you sequester, the better the ecological condition of the land, and that would be good for me, good for agricultural production and good for the country.
David McKenzie is the WA Outback Manager for Pew Charitable Trusts. He says carbon farming has the potential to be a big money earner for WA farmers.
What we've seen on the East Coast, perhaps using New South Wales as an example, the Western Division of New South Wales, they have locked in place over $250 million worth of carbon farming contracts just in the last few years. This is a fantastic opportunity for other areas such as Western Australia to be able to take advantage of. And I think all we need really is the right policies, the right laws in place, some reforms to existing ways of doing business, and we can really take the brakes off one of those fantastic opportunities that helps not only people, but also nature in the outback.
The first step towards a potential carbon farming industry will have to be a change to pastoral leases to allow the land to be used for more than grazing. The WA Lands Minister and former Nationals leader Terry Redman has been championing rangelands reform. It's an issue he says has been on the agenda for decades.
The first attempt that I can recall was in the mid-80s by the Lands Minister at the time, Yvonne Henderson. At the time, she had a whole heap of reforms, in fact, many of which I've been trying to put through now, that pastoralists would have supported and probably wished they did in those days. That was prior to native title being in place. And that was knocked on the head by the Pastoralists and Grazers Association. There was another attempt by Alana McKinnon in 2007. That was again knocked on the head by the Pastoralists and Grazers Association. And, of course, my attempts now appear to be knocked on the head by the Pastoralists and Grazers Association, who are having an impact on our partners in government, where I can't actually get it through Cabinet at the minute to be able to get it into Parliament in a timely way to get through in this last session of Parliament this year.
Tony Seabrook is the president of the Pastoralists and Graziers Association of WA. While he's not convinced of the viability of carbon farming, he is in favour of economic diversification in the WA rangelands. His concern is about the way Terry Redman's legislation for rangelands reform would do that. The PGA and the minister have come to loggerheads over Mr. Redman's proposal to abolish the Pastoral Lands Board, which currently administers pastoral leases in the state.
Look, there's absolutely no shadow of doubt. There's a whole group of people out there with no interest, no financial interest in the rangelands whatsoever, that would like to exercise an inordinate amount of control of what actually goes on in the rangelands. Now, the industry is not concerned about what the Department of Lands does with the unallocated Crown land. That's up to them. But this land has been leased in good faith to people who have made a commitment to take out a lease, in many cases for 50 years. And the real issue here is that if the power resorts back to the Department of Lands, if we have a change of government, if we have a minister not disposed towards pastoralism, a minister who believes very strongly in basically shutting down the rangelands under the advice of people like the Pew Foundation, Outback. There are a whole group of people that would like to exercise influence. It makes it a lot easier for them to do that.
David McKenzie from Pew Charitable Trusts rejects the PGA's claim that his organisation is looking to exercise control over the rangelands. But he says something must be done, and soon, to bring economic opportunity to the region.
Look, I think just about everyone involved in rangelands reform has conceded that it's not perfect. But it's really important to not let the perfect be the enemy of the good. We have tried reforms several times before over the last few decades, and as we have not managed to be able to instigate those reforms, people in the bush, unfortunately, haven't actually been given the opportunities that they need and actually want. We believe it's really time to take the brakes off the bush, and if this legislation is one small step towards making that happen, then we believe that's a very good thing.
That's David McKenzie from Pew Charitable Trusts, finishing that report from Claire Nichols.
Do you guys have Barramundi here?
This is Mike and Timothy,
Scallops,
the unlikely hosts of a new RN podcast. It's called The Real Thing. Stories.
Intimate stories, scenes, characters, places.
Born of Australia.
We're heading out into the corners to find the real Australia.
The Real Thing.
That's us.
Subscribe now.